You are going to have to bear with me. Now, it's quite delightful in my house because my throat's a little bit dry and sore, and as I think lots of people have already got, but I'm okay. I'm here. But yeah, Happy New Year. I'm not going to be like Gareth, but Happy New Year, everyone. And one of the things that I was like, 2025, what can it be? And I was like, it's a year we're going to come alive in 2025. And I love that. But as we step into 2025, I thought it's a perfect time to reflect on the journey ahead that we have and how we can grow together and how we can continue to build community here at the Gate. And today I want to talk about something that's been on my heart around building community. I love community, I love building community, I love pioneering new communities. And we talk a lot at the Gate about one church, many communities. And it's a statement that reflects our desire to remain united in Christ. That's what it is. Rather than lots of little churches, we are one church, many communities. And while we also celebrate unique communities that we have within our family, so we celebrate the uniqueness of our communities, but let's get real. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I can see over here there's some smiles already. It's not an easy way to live it out. It's not easy. I can only describe it when we're building community and you've been a community, just one community on your own. It's like being the older sibling when a new baby comes along. And there's joy, but there's also some growing pains. And there's that tension that sometimes can feel a little bit uncomfortable when you're the older child and you've had all the attention yourself. But as we move into this new year and we have more communities coming online, and we have to embrace that tension. And we need to be flexible. And I don't know about you, but after Christmas, not feeling so flexible. It's a bit heavy, need to do some more weights. But as we grow stronger, as we build community, we get to reflect God's love. We get to reflect God's love. So today, I want to go through five areas, that I think will help us to navigate where we're currently at and help us to embrace the new communities that are coming. Because you're already, when we think about Tilehurst community, they were the older sibling, you guys were the new baby, and now you're no longer the old, you're no longer the baby. You're the middle. You're the middle sibling. We have to watch those middle siblings. You do. Yeah, they give the most trouble. No. No. But so please know, you're not the most trouble. Please do not hear that. That is not what I am saying. Mabel said it. it's okay. I'll just take Mabel out. So we're going to look, number one, the heart of community. Community isn't just a nice idea. It's central to God's plan. So in Genesis 2:18, it said, it's not good for man to be alone. From the very beginning, God designed us for connection. It's the foundation of our faith, relationship with God and relationship with each other. And we see this perfectly in Acts 2. 42-47. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to it, it will be on the screen. But it is on the screen. He's good at the back there. This is where the early church was devoted to building community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of community I want to be a part of. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming a community where we share, where we care, we grow together. It's not perfect, but it's real and it's built on love. So why do we build community? We're on the next slide. So here we go. Support. So why is community so important? Why should we invest in it? Because we get support. Life can be hard and we all go through tough times. Who's been through tough times? Yeah, we've all been through tough times. And it's in community that we find the strength. It's in community that we find the strength to keep going. You know, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. In community, we don't face struggles alone. I've shared before, I'm sure I've shared many times before, when my dad passed away suddenly. And the next day we went to church and we were surrounded by our church family. It wasn't planned that he was going to pass away. He wasn't ill. And he just, yeah. But the church as family in that community was precious. And we didn't face that struggle alone. And we carry each other's burdens and we offer encouragement, support and love. I wouldn't be where I am today without the Gate community. I wouldn't be where I am today without the love of Gate Sindlesham community. The love and the compassion that you guys show is phenomenal. The Gate loves well. The reason every time we have welcome new members to the Gate, why have you chosen the Gate? Why? Because it feels like family. That's community. Secondly, encouragement to grow. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's not, oh, good job. Spur, I love that. It's a spurring. We're committed. We're committed to helping one another grow, to develop. And that is including, just hear this, challenging. When you challenge someone as well, you're not behaving the right way. You're not doing this the right way. Because if we're not challenging one another, we're not loving one another. I've got two children, as many of you will know. And if I did not, at times, challenge my children when their behavior was not okay, they would think it was okay to behave that way. They would continue to behave that way. But I have to spur them on. Okay, I have to encourage them to do the right thing. You didn't do that well. You didn't speak well. Even recently, my daughter said something to me in a way that I didn't like. But instead of, you know, but I have to say to her, you didn't speak well when you spoke to me. Think about how you say something. We have to challenge. It's encouraging one another to grow. We grow in our faith, encourage us to love deeper, serve better. It challenges us to be more like Jesus. The word is, we need to be like Jesus to one another, to love one another well, and to live out God's calling on our lives. We've got to spur one another on. If I know that Mabel is passionate about serving the children's work, I am going to spur her on. Please. I'm not going to, Mabel. It's okay. I know that's not the call on your life. But if that's the call on your life, if the call on your life is for the youth, then we're going to spur you on and we're going to throw you in there. Not literally. But we're going to push you that way and we're going to say, come on, you can do this. Yes, they might look a bit scary. Yes, they might answer you back sometimes. I remember the first time I stepped into a classroom when I was teaching and I was just petrified. I was like, what if they say no to me? Because I can't be like mum to these kids, can I? You know, and sort of that's not okay and you shouldn't do that. And, you know, and I had big teenagers that would swear at me and throw things at me. And it was like, what do I do? But actually, it's about loving them well and living that call that's upon my life out. And Jesus will be at the center of everything I do. Because when we call Jesus into the center of what you're called to do, if he's in it, you're not on your own. Third one, reflection of God's love. Community, why do you build community? Because it's a reflection of God's love. John 13, 34 to 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another by this. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We have to love one another. Again, doesn't mean we have to agree. Doesn't mean we have to agree with everyone, but we have to love and we have to love well. Can I have the water, please? Sorry. Number three, navigating the tension of one church, many communities. Now, this is something that's really been sitting with me. We've got this, I thought, I love this picture of the kids. I thought I'd do children playing tug of war. As we need to embrace, as a church, we have to embrace the one church, many communities. Because there are going to be more communities. We've got Tilehurst. I have to get my words out then. Tilehurst, Sindlesham. We've got Didcot. And hey, let's believe for two more. So we've got five in 25. That would be amazing. Two more this year could be great. I'm not saying that is what's happening. I just think five in 25 would be great. But we have to acknowledge that it doesn't come without tension. Now, when you live in my house, I have the tension of there's children's work and how we provide children's work across sites. I have the tension of worship in our house. And there's tensions. There are always little bits of tension. You know, who's going to have this time? You know, I remember some of the tension was, you know, the new mum, the mum from Tilehurst, Pastor Joanna, she had to be shared amongst the younger sibling. She had to be with the younger sibling. Which is great, and it's brilliant. But then, what if? Just what if? Okay, Pastor Mabel had to be shared somewhere else. And there's a tension, and there's a pulling. But we have to acknowledge, there always will be tension. But it's about the tension balanced. And we start something new, especially when new communities form in. It can feel, like I said, like we're the older sibling. There is excitement, there's change. It can feel like everyone's focused on the new baby and no one is paying any attention. And then suddenly these little behavior and attitudes, and it's really, we have to be so aware of our attitudes and our behaviors when things don't go to plan or the way we would like it to go. And we need to really hold on to that. When we're in communities, I remember a time when my younger sibling, I'm not like this now, so please don't think that I'm like this now. I am competitive still. But my younger sister, I think I was about two. Nikki would have been, no, she wouldn't have, I would have been a little bit older, maybe. I'm just trying to do myself a better picture. I was three, she was one. We were hanging out the washing. It was a nice summer's day, and we were hanging out some washing. And I'm just talking about the younger siblings, older sibling. And she got to hang the last item on the line, which I wanted to do. I had been dutiful and I'd been carrying the washing basket along, taking it in turns, hanging up the washing. And Nikki got to hang out the last piece of washing. Now, I didn't take that very well. And some bad attitudes and behaviors came up. To the point I picked up the washing basket and I swung it. I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but I smacked her across the face with this plastic washing basket, which she ended up going to hospital because she potentially broke her nose. I was in so much trouble. anybody knows my mum, she's not here, because it, but Janet, if you cross Janet, she's my mum, and I was in lots of trouble, and because I had to spend several hours in A&E, I had to go to the neighbours, and it wasn't good. But what am I trying to say here? Suddenly attitudes, behaviours that you don't think you're carrying, suddenly when there's a tension, come up. And when we're growing communities and there's different communities popping up, tensions can arise. But growth brings change. Number one from the in the third one, growth brings change. Just like in family, as new communities they come in, things will shift. There will be a natural shift. I love my sister now. Please don't. And we had another sibling after that. So we all love each other. We all get on. And nobody has any more broken bones. Things don't always look the same. So when I was on my own, then there's another sibling, and then there's another sibling. Life shifts, life changes, but it's good because it brings change and it's okay. Change is part of the process, but we need to be flexible. Just like the early church was. The early church was flexible. They adapted, they changed. To meet the needs, they adapted to the needs of the time, but they were always anchored in the same purpose, following Jesus and sharing his love. And that's what we need to be as communities, anchored in following Jesus and sharing his love. I love this one as well, unity in diversity. I love that. Our communities are diverse communities. And we've got different communities, but we're still one body. We're still one body. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, it reminds us of that. That though there are many parts, we are still one body. So we might look different. We might act differently. We might have different approaches. I mean, you should say, sometimes you sit in the apostolic team meetings. Maybe you don't want to do that. because we all have different approaches, different ways of doing things. You know, I can be quite loud and spoken, outspoken. Not outspoken, but I can say what I think. As can Mabel. As can Joanna, Pastor Joanna. But then you can also have Gareth, who's very, very quiet. And we all have different ways of doing things. You know, some people want to just say it as it is. And other people like to, let's unpick it slowly. That's okay. That's okay how we do things. But there needs to be the flexibility. So being flexible with change. And this is here's where we need to be flexible. So just like with an older sibling, we have to adjust. Change can feel uncertain, but it doesn't have to be a negative thing. Now, Gareth will tell you, I don't like change. I don't like change. I don't do well with change. I like to think I do, but I don't. Because sometimes you feel like it's a negative thing. But actually, you grow in change. God is at work in these changes. So as we bring more communities, as you as a community grow and develop, as the gate grows, we need to know that God is at work in it. We're not just making it up as we go along. It might feel like it sometimes, but we're not. God is in it. And if we're flexible and we're open to the shifts, we are going to find ourselves growing in new and unexpected ways. As individuals, you're going to find yourselves growing in new and unexpected ways. That's why I keep saying, come alive in 2025. Because we're going to, new and unexpected ways, we're going to come alive. Flexibility helps us move through tension and see the beauty in the growth God is bringing. I know in my body that if I haven't been stretching or exercising in some way, shape or form, I become really, really stiff. And especially when there's a stressful situation going on. If I was to ask some people, I'm going to have some volunteers, actually. I'm going to do it. You know, now you're like, oh, don't worry. You've had the two Welshmen at the front earlier pointing you going like that. So if you've got five volunteers, five of you stand up randomly in the building. I'm not going to ask you to bend over, touch your toes or anything like that. I promise. Five ones. Thank you, Gareth. Right, Jeff, you can stand up for doing what you did to them earlier. There you go. There you go. Have the Welsh. Okay. I just need three more people. Honestly, it's not us. It's not just three more. Oh, well done. Oh, anybody else? Oh, well done, Wancy. Oh, there we go. Okay. So here's a question. You can all be thinking about the answer and checking yourselves as well, okay? I'm not asking you to bend over, don't worry. When you are stressed, where do you feel it most in your body? Okay, straight away, Wancy, here. Head, fingers, heart. Okay. Interesting. All different. All experience it differently. But the stress, it all feels. Mine is in my shoulder blades. Always in my shoulder blades. And it's painful. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Okay. We all feel things differently. Where am I going with this? What I'm trying to say is we grow in new and if I'm not flexible, if I don't do the things I need to do to deal with the tension in my body, I feel it somewhere. So when you have the stress in your head or you have it in your back or you have it in your fingers, we need that flexibility because we need to find ourselves growing in new and unexpected ways. It helps us move through that tension so that we can see the beauty of what God is doing in our lives. We need to see the beauty of what God is doing. Otherwise, we're going to miss it. Another way to build community, which, you know, it's not new, evangelism. We have an evangelistic team, and they do a great job. But we all play a part in evangelism. One of the best ways that we can build community is through evangelism. And I'm not just talking about programs or events, okay? I'm talking about the way that each one of us lives, how each one of us reaches out to others and invite them into our families, into the family. I love the way that we go and we do the fete over in their park. I love it. But evangelism expands the family. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. So Matthew 28:19-20, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. So I love the fact that the Gate is a diverse community. We have got many nations represented. But it isn't just about adding numbers to the church. It's about bringing people into a new family and bringing them into the kingdom of God. Remember, we do this for Jesus. We do this for his kingdom, for God's kingdom. It's about, so when we evangelize, we invite people into the life of the church, into the community of believers where they can experience the love of Christ and be supported, be encouraged, and be challenged. We all get to play a part. We all have somebody we know that isn't walking with God. I mean, Gareth and I, one of the challenges we had was the last Easter festival and around the meal time, inviting people. You're going to hear a lot about this coming up. Inviting people to your home for a meal. And Gareth and I were like, do you know what? We don't have any non-Christian friends. It was really hard. We're just like, we've got our neighbours, but our neighbours were on Ramadan and the other neighbours were fasting for some reason. I can't remember. That wasn't Ramadan for them. But it was like, we can't invite them for a meal. And we're like, what do we do? So we decided we would do a meal for the Conkers families, which was great. And we had them come. But suddenly it was like, we need to find ways of reaching out more, because we suddenly were like, where are our non-Christian friends? And so that's what we're doing. We're building relationship with people. We're purposely going out and building relationship with people, evangelizing. Evangelism is about inviting others to join us in what we found. It's about opening our hearts and our church to others who need Jesus. You know, as we bring new people in, you're going to understand. So as you bring new people into this community, just thinking about Sindlesham community, you're going to have people that come in that have got new perspectives, new stories, new challenges, a new energy. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I really want us to hold on to this thing of, you know, all this change that happens, all these new people that come in, they bring an energy, they bring a life. And I love that. Again, it doesn't just change our lives, it enriches ours. It enriches us. So it's not just about, you know, oh, and you know, think about the community. It doesn't just change the community, it enriches the community when we welcome new people in. We also need to make disciples in community. Look to the person next to you and the other side of you or behind you. Or each of you are called to go and make disciples. It's not just about telling others about Jesus. Who is walking alongside you? Who is walking along with you as they grow in their faith? Who are you taking on a journey that one day, when you can't, you're not going to be doing that anymore, there's somebody there already? Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? We help people to become disciples, but not in isolation, but in the context of community. If there's one reason I couldn't be discipling somebody for a moment, I know I've got some incredible people right here that would disciple, and these guys disciple well. We are called to share our life with one another. We're not made to be in isolation. We're called to encourage one another in our walk with Christ and to support each other through it. All the highs and all the lows of life, okay? We've all had highs, we've all had lows, and somewhere in between. So how are we going to build community this year? So as we step into 2025, let's think about how we can build community and be more intentional about it this year. Thinking not just one church mini, when we think one church mini communities, how are we going to be intentional in building community across the gate as a whole? One church mini communities. Number one for me, commit to fellowship. These lunches on the first Sunday, I love. Just like the early church, let's commit to meeting regularly. It's so easy, especially in the week with groups, to think, oh, you know what, I go to church on Sunday. Yeah, group can wait. That is where you're going to get your deeper. You're going to get that more personal relationships built when you're in group, when you're staying to fellowship. Whether it's in worship, like I said, whether it's small groups, or simply hanging out. It's okay just to hang out. It's one of the things that my children like to say, we're not doing something spiritual again, are we? With these people, you know. And when they do that, because they love to do life. We love to do life. So my children, they're 23 and 19, you know, they've got their own faith. They're walking with God, which I, thank you, Jesus, we're having a conversation about that the other day. We're just so grateful that God has kept our kids. But there are times when it's been like they would say to us, and even recently, it is just relationship, isn't it? We're not doing like some group. It is just about building relationships. Like, yep. And it's really good to have that just to do life. The more we're together, the stronger a community we will be. So, you all get to spend more time together. Aren't you all pleased? Oh, look at you all smiling. serving one another. Let's look for opportunities to serve one another. Whether that's through helping with the need, whether that's offering a listening ear, whether that's praying for someone, one of the most powerful ways to build community is to serve one another. You know, if Pastor Joanna needs something, her cooker's broken, let's all make her a meal. Her freezer will be full, but she'll be blessed. I'm not saying your cooker's going to break. It's not going to. Oh, yes. Okay. Pastor Joanna has said it's sort of broken. Oh, please cook Joanna. Pastor Joanna a meal. But even if her cooker hasn't broken, why not? Thank you, Pastor Joanna, for serving us. Here's a meal to bless you. You're going to have a queue outside your house tonight, Joanna. Okay. Serving one another is a way of showing love. And we are called to love one another. So let's serve one another to show that we love one another. It can be hard as well. It can be hard to serve others, especially if you don't agree with what they think. Or you think they're being a little bit difficult and you've seen them be a bit difficult. And it can be really, really hard. But actually, that's the time you want to serve them. If you've got a little bit of a, I don't want to serve them, that's the time to serve. Because you don't want the washing basket incident. You don't want the washing basket incident. You want to show love. You want to be Jesus to that person. And I will try really hard. When there are people that push my buttons, and it's not just Gareth that pushes my buttons, there are others, I'm intentional about serving them. I'm intentional about doing things for them because I want to be Jesus in that situation. I want to be who God has made me to be, which is to love that person because we're all flawed. We all make mistakes. As I said, we don't all agree. Encourage one another. Everyone needs encouraging. Mabel loves an encouragement. Pastor Mabel loves to be encouraged. So let's be intentional. And this is one thing. I've talked about doing life, but let's speak life into one another. Let's speak life. It's so easy to put people down. It's so easy to not like what's going on. Oh, Gareth said this. I disagree with Gareth on that. Therefore, I'm not going to talk to him. There are days we do that. No. You know, as a couple, you know, as a married couple, we do have our moments. But in church, if somebody, you don't, oh, you're a perfect couple, aren't you, you two down there? Well done, Jeff. Jeff said we don't do that. That's fine, no. Wow. Oh, that's not what I've heard. Anyway, let's move on. Encouraging one another, speaking life into one another is really important. If I just get up every Monday morning or every Tuesday morning and I'm just groaning at my husband and just telling him, oh, you didn't do that last night, did you? You didn't do the dishes. You haven't put the dishwasher on again. You know, all those things. You said you were coming to bed later, so therefore you should have put the dishwasher on. If I just keep telling him all the negative things he's doing, oh, Gareth, you did this. Oh, Gareth, you left the wet towels on the floor again. You know, if I keep doing that, I'm not speaking life into him. I need to be going, Gareth, thank you, you know, that you filled the dishwasher. Right, you didn't switch it on, but you filled the dishwasher, and I love you for that. I need to speak life into Gareth. Otherwise, our marriage is not going to survive. We need to speak life into one another at the church. Otherwise, we're not going to survive. Because who's going to want to come into a family that doesn't speak life to each other? Into each other. You need to speak God's truth over one another. You need to speak that truth. Spurring one another on. We're not trampling people under our feet. We're spurring them on. I would rather be just sat down there and listening to people, because we've spurred enough people on that they're preaching. And I was like, we're all fighting for a position on the preaching rota. That'd be great. We're not going to fight, though, because I have the plastic button. No. We need to be spurring one another on, speaking life. And we need to evangelize with love. Share the good news. I want us in 2025 to be intentional about reaching out to those around us, inviting them into the community of Christ. Evangelism, I was thinking about this because I was having a conversation with my daughter, with Naomi. And she says, sometimes it feels we're walking through town and please do not hear this, that when people put their plastic boxes and they stand on their boxes and they start preaching the gospel, hats off to them. That's not how I do it. But Naomi said it feels a bit like a sales pitch. And evangelism isn't a sales pitch. And I was like, ooh. It's not a sales. Evangelism isn't a sales pitch. It's about extending an invitation to experience the love of God. That's what evangelism is. It's not a sales pitch. It's about experiencing the love of God and bringing people into that experience and to being part, the joy of being part of a family. So, as we step into this new year, I want us to remember that building community is both a privilege, but it's a responsibility. There's going to be tension, there's going to be change, but remember that's the part of the beauty of growth. That's the beauty of God. We need to embrace those moments and flexibility. With flexibility, we've got to trust God is at work, that he's going to bring something new, he's going to bring something beautiful from it. And I want us to build strong, loving communities that reflect God's heart. I want others to join us along the way. I don't want it just to be the same old people. I want others to come into the family. I want others to thrive in our family. I want others to come alive in our communities. So, our mission to build community through fellowship, through service, through encouragement and evangelism starts today. Let's stay flexible, let's stay loving, and let's stay united as we grow together. Let's stand. Father God, I want to thank you for this community, for the Sindlesham community. I want to thank you for the Tilehurst community. I want to thank you for the Didcot community. And I want to thank you for the communities that are to come. Father, I thank you that we have diverse communities that love well, that serve well. But Father, we also know that there's tension and there's change in that. But we choose today to put our trust in you. Father, I pray that our communities will be vibrant with your love, with the Holy Spirit. Father, we choose this morning to partner with the Holy Spirit to step out. Father, you are Lord of all. And Father, we want Christ-centered communities. So Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we just sit on your word, as we take in what's been said, God, we just pray that you would spur us on and that we would spur each other on to see your kingdom come and your will done. And that we would, as communities and as church, come alive in 2025. Amen.
Amen. what a good encouragement at the start of the year to